from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Swing and a drive deep into left field. Benintendi going back. It's over his head off the base of the wall. Wyatt Langford provides the walk-off single to give Texas a 4-3 win in 10 to open this series against Chicago.
And RJ says, thank you, Jack McDowell. Good morning, Metroplex. It's Sean and RJ here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Bobby, who's Jack McDowell?
He was a pitcher for the Twins and Indians. No, Jack Morris, is that Indians?
Well, it would be the White Sox because that's who they're facing. And it's the Guardians, by the way. Show some respect.
It would have been Gilbert. The Indians, though. Hello.
Show some respect, Arenas.
I'm being historically accurate. You can't forget history. We're doomed to repeat it, Sean.
A huge win for the Texas Rangers last night. The Astros, the Mariners both lose. So the Rangers are 4 games back. And Choppy, you were surprised that they pitch to Wyatt Langford instead of Josh Smith.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. I understand there was 2 outs. I understand the idea of a force out on any base, but Josh Smith is in a pretty prolonged slump. It's obviously easily his worst stretch of the year, or at least lately, that's for sure. He's like 2 for his last 20-something. Including 0 for his last 8-6 is 14. 0 for his last 14. I was a little surprised. They chose Wyatt Langford. I would rather, to me, like a guy having a career year, you're betting that sooner or later he's going to come down to earth versus the guy who is the all world next Mike Trout, all that BS. I get it. It's righty on righty versus righty on lefty. I understand all that. I understand absolutely Walker Seager, okay? But with the people on base, you had Jankowski at third, very much a lot of speed. Seager at second, who would have been able to get a good secondary lead. Josh Smith at first, he's got speed. And then Wyatt Langford, obviously he's got speed. I mean, you were going to put yourself into a position where any chopper was going to be a very difficult out to make. A ball well placed in the hole was going to be a very difficult out to make. And then you're having a really good hitter up there. I was a little surprised. You know, I don't think it was the worst thing in the world. I understand the move. I understand why you would load the bases up because, you know, you want to create a force at any base. I just would have preferred to pitch to Josh Smith if I was the White Sox than Wyatt Langford.
Yeah, but I mean, Wyatt's had his own struggles out of the break.
Sure. But he's a better player overall. I think
he's a better talent.
He's not a better player today.
Yeah, he's
no, a better talent.
He's a better talent. And that's the thing is that if you're banking on who's good right now versus who's going to be better for the rest of their career, you're banking on, I'm going to guess that in this very moment, Josh Smith is going to come back to a reality that we haven't seen this season versus. You know what you've gotten from Wyatt Langford. You would have to look at that and say, I'm going to run away from or be afraid of the idea of him clicking that into place. Either way, you're banking on something that's not a present reality. You would be saying that Josh Smith is going to come down to earth, so I'll pitch to him, or Wyatt Langford might become this player all of a sudden right there in that moment. I think there have been plenty of times where teams have looked at Wyatt Langford and felt like they've got a beat on how to pitch to him. And Josh Smith has the entire year had an on-base percentage 100 points higher than his batting average. He's patient. He gets on base. He makes contact. It's just, I think that I totally understand the thought process of why they went that direction.
Yeah, it's two for his last 24. That's clearly his worst stretch
of this season.
That's you're mired in a slump, and that's like, I don't know. I would have, if I was them, I would have gone after that.
And I believe heading into that at bat last night, why it was three for his last 34.
That's bad too.
Ugh.
That's bad too.
Rangers will take it either way. Four games back in the American League West as you have some trade deadline fun.
Yeah, so I was looking at some, the latest MLB trade rumors. And obviously, look, I mean, Toronto's coming in. How are they going to approach the trade deadline? The Cubs are looking to offload. And then you see two teams like Milwaukee and
two
Cleveland. I noticed that Milwaukee was looking to add maybe another one. They already added one hurler, and now they're looking to get another one. Maybe the guy we saw last night, Eric Fetty, out there throwing 80 poo, as I said earlier today.
Fetty Wap.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he's somebody that gets moved.
80 poo.
But
I don't like poo humor, but that's good.
That's what they say. You're changing on me. Listen to you.
That's what the kids say. That's what the kids say now. He ain't throwing hard. He's out there throwing 80 poo. But Milwaukee, I don't want to move Eovaldi. I don't. I mean, I understand what you're saying. You can get a lot back for him. I just think I want him for next year. But if you get indications that he's going to decline his player option should it vest, he's going to be a free agent anyway. Maybe you pull a... let's trade him and try to sign him in the offseason. Because, it may lower if it's known that he's going to decline his player option, it might lower his value. Obviously, it will lower his value. And I assume the next team would want him to agree to pick it up.
I don't know that that's a requirement necessarily because there's...
It's not for the Jets and Hassan Reddick, as the news is in that Hassan Reddick is not showing up to Jets camp after they acquired him from Philadelphia. And you'd think that a deal would have gotten done.
Well, they thought they had an understanding of we're acquiring you here and you're going to show up. And they thought that was all worked out. And the Jets are showing you that things aren't always consistent over there. But specifically, there is a history of...
Maybe Aaron can explain to them what holdout means.
Yeah,
because they don't understand.
We don't know the English language. there's a deep history, though, of people still... paying through the nose for gun for hires.
Yeah, you might just be able to get more.
Like I think that if you've got it depends on the team, obviously, who would be... I think a team like Baltimore would be totally invested in the idea of, like, fine, 2 months, fine. We've got plenty of depth here, but this is a window for us to win right now. We need this guy. Like, I think there are teams like that who are more willing than maybe others who will say, nah, I need a little bit more of a long-term commitment.
So, and the Rangers could do that. The Red Sox did try this. They traded Lester to Oakland. They thought they were going to be able to re-sign him. He winds up going to the Cubs. The Yankees traded Chapman to the Cubs. They were able to re-sign him.
Yep.
So you're able to trade guys and then get them right back. Another team I think that the other team that they were talking about is New York, desperate for a closer. Maybe you dangle Kirby Yates or Robertson, who's been there before, knows he can handle the market. Maybe those are two teams you could take advantage of right now. Maybe Cleveland, too, with Eovaldi if they need another starting pitcher.
Chris Young was on the station yesterday as the manager and GM are every single week, being your home of the World Series champs. What about some reinforcements coming back with Josh Young and Evan Carter?
Yeah, I was just outside watching Josh. He hit batting practice today. The next step for him will be a live batting practice off a pitcher, and then at which point we hope we can get him out on rehab for a few games. And my hope is that, roughly 10 days, if everything goes smoothly, that he could be back. Evan is also making great progress, feeling really, really good. He'll take his first batting practice session tomorrow, at which point I think we can start to accelerate his progression as well. And my hope is that, shortly after August 1st, Evan will be back. So we're trending the right direction with both those guys, and we need them desperately. They're big parts of our lineup, obviously two pieces that we were depending on this year. And when we get them back, my hope is that it just makes our lineup a little bit more complete, and our run production will improve.
Chris Young said that 2 months ago, the exact same thing. In fact, 2 months ago, I remember exactly where I was, picking up my boy from school, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Josh Young is coming back. It's around the corner. Now, maybe the setbacks and all that, I don't know, but Chris Young said that 2 months ago.
Boy, isn't it odd that you've got two more significant injuries in Josh Young and Evan Carter, that the timeline is just always shifting. They have never been right about a single timeline, ever. Like with a major injury, they are never right. And that tells me that they're always right, and what they're publicly representing is never right. And that they know what it is, and they're just... they're trying to disguise and play with it a little bit. But, I mean, the Carter one was worse than they thought. Josh Young's recovery has been harder than they thought. There was a lot of talk we were hearing about Seager's injury was worse than it actually ended up being. Like, he was ready earlier than initially thought. And so they're never consistent with their timelines ever. They're always off by weeks.
Odds sent to me from Vegas via Bet Online. On the favorites to win the World Series. Let's see how far down we have to go till we get to the Rangers. Who's the favorite?
Let's go Philly.
Good job. Because after winning 100 games last year, the Dodgers went to the postseason, strutted in, and they struggled out. Swept by the Diamondbacks, loaded up in the offseason, and from the day they signed Ohtani, they were the World Series favorites until yesterday. And that changed. 17-5. That's plus 340 for Philly. Dodgers are 2 at plus 350. Who's third?
Baltimore.
No.
Yankees.
Yep. Good job. Yankees 6-1. Then Baltimore, Bob, at 7-1. Who's after the Orioles?
Houston.
Nope.
Milwaukee?
Uh-uh.
Cleveland.
Nope.
Atlanta.
Atlanta 10-1. Cleveland and Houston tied at 14-1. Then Minnesota 20-1. The Mariners 22-1. Milwaukee 25-1. Padres 33-1. Red Sox 40-1. Stop me when you hear value. Kansas City 50-1. Mets, Cardinals 55-1. Diamondbacks 60-1. The San Francisco Giants and your Texas Rangers are 80-1 to win it all today, according to Vegas.
I do think Houston at 14-1 is decent value. They've got, find me the American League team that wants to run into them.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, if you're Baltimore,
Bassett yesterday was asked, I still don't think they're good.
I don't think they're a great team, but I'll tell you this. They've destroyed the Yankees in the playoffs for about 10 years now. You think they really want to run into them? You think Baltimore, who's never done anything, wants to see Houston? I don't. Minnesota? Yeah. Cleveland? I'll tell you, man, I would not want to see Houston in the
Certainly
playoffs.
Wouldn't want to play them in Houston. No. I know that.
Because they're cheaters, right, Bobby?
Yep. You got it. You got the reference.
Yeah,
good job,
it.
Chop.
877-881-1053. The Franklin LaFranco Injury Attorney text line here on DFW Sports Station. Did one of y'all send an ESPN baseball list? We have that same thing. Are they just cranking them out over there, Bobby?
They are cranking them out. So they took their top 100
yes.
of the 21st century athletes. And then what they did, they had 18 players, baseball players, on that top 100 list. So I guess they're just looking for content here. And so they went, well, let's tack on 19 through 25. Let's throw another 6-7 players on there. And then we'll have another piece of content here. So they did the top 25 Major League Baseball players of the 21st century. So it's all the 18 that we covered. And then you jump down to, which are refresh, I'll give you 16, 17, 18 really quickly. 16, Bryce Harper, 17, Roy Halladay, 18, Pedro Martinez. This is where the rest of the list picks up.
Whoa. Say those again.
16 was Bryce Harper, 17, Roy Halladay, 18, Pedro Martinez.
Halladay or Pedro?
I think you got to remember this is from 2000 on.
Okay.
And I got to remember when Halladay really got started. Is Bryce... I love Bryce. Okay, just keep going with the list.
Okay, number 19, Buster Posey.
Okay.
Number 20, Zach Greinke. Number 21, Aaron Judge.
Judge will be better than Posey.
Are they saying Judge is not as good as Zach Greinke?
I think they're saying right now. Anyway, here's the one that I'm going to have a problem with over definitely 19 and Buster Posey. That's 22 is Randy Johnson.
Ooh.
Man, a lot of his career, though, was
I know a lot of it was in 90s. If you just take 2000 on, Randy Johnson won 3 Cy Youngs. He had 4 seasons of 290 strikeouts. He had 2 ERA titles and 2 seasons winning 21 games or more.
That's better than Greinke.
Yeah.
That's better than Buster. Like, I know Buster's unique for his position and won titles, but Buster Posey was not a better player in that era to me than Randy Johnson.
Quite frankly, it's probably better than Pedro. I got to go look and see what Pedro
Pedro's
won.
Best years were definitely late 90s.
1999 was, I think, his best
early year. Early 2000s, he was still good, but late 90s. The rest of the list really quickly. Freddie Freeman at 23. CeCe Sabathia, who we talked about, 24, and his entire career was in the 2000s. And then number 25, Manny Ramirez.
Rangers, White Sox again tonight. 6:30 pregame, first pitch, 7 o'clock on 105.3 The Fan.
Pedro has three Cy Youngs, but two of them were in the 90s. So it's hard for me to put him ahead of Randy Johnson.
Not everyone is thrilled that Barkley and the crew are coming back, and let's go visit RJ Choppy Sr. as well. Next on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It looks like our beloved Inside the NBA has been saved. As yesterday, Turner Sports reportedly matched Amazon. And they're like, nope, you are not taking the NBA from us. So they matched the $1.8 billion offer to keep Barkley, I think, Shaq, Kenny and EJ, Ernie Johnson, by the way, taking a personal leave of absence from Turner's baseball coverage for a private issue. But let's see if Charles recommits to more than just a year after he announced his retirement after the NBA Finals. He said, I got one more year left and I'm not going to go anywhere else to do this show. Well, now it sounds like they don't have to go anywhere else. And there is someone besides RJ Choppy who does not care about this news. Charles Oakley, Michael Jordan's bodyguard. This is a ways back on Scoop B Radio, and Oakley was asked about Sir Charles.
Charles Barkley, a contemporary of yours, said that after this season coming up, that he's not going to do any more TV. Do you buy it?
Who give a f*** about Charles Barkley? He need to go to the gym and worry about his health. But his mouth is going to get him in trouble. But, I mean, he's a clown, point blank. He looked for attention. He didn't. The stuff he said now, he would never say it back in the day about no player. Well, somebody would hit him in his fat mouth.
So there's all time, what?
When has Charles ever censored himself?
Charles who?
Barkley. Oh, he wouldn't be saying this when he was a player.
I don't remember.
He said a lot when he was a player.
Yeah.
That didn't just start in retirement.
But a couple things here. First, Charles Oakley is supposed to be an all-time badass. And number two, he's Michael's boy. And of course, Michael and Charles don't speak anymore. So it's not surprising whatsoever that Oakley is going at Barkley. And Charles Oakley, he would beat Barkley's ass today.
Oh, is Oak and Jordan still, are they still tight?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. The whole clique. Quinn Buckner, Ahmad Rashad, MJ, Charles Oakley, and I think Ewing. That's Michael's posse.
Have you seen Oakley lately?
I've seen Charles walk.
Oakley is looking like Jack Frost out here, man. Look at look at that gray.
Barkley won't say anything serious back to Oakley, I don't think.
Oh, he's still fit. Yeah.
On TV.
Yeah, that's a well put together man.
He looks good.
Wow. He'd kill him.
I'm stunned. I know that hair is amazing.
But I'm trying to think who people, I mean, unless you have a black belt in Taekwondo in today's NBA, who people say is Charles Oakley. There's the guy that the Mavs had. Was it James something?
James Johnson. Yeah, and he is like a Taekwondo guy or something, or he does BJJ or something.
All right, Chop, basketball was not turned on for your pops, but you went and turned on baseball for him yesterday?
Yeah, I did. I went to see my old man yesterday. My mom called me right after the show. It's amazing. She didn't call during it.
I know.
My entire family has no idea what I do for work or what time I'm on the radio. It's crazy, the hustle that these idiots have portrayed of just not having a clue of what I do.
Neither does the sales department.
No, they don't either. So she.
I'm on vacation. I got the sales guys going, hey, hit me up when you're off. When you're off the air, like 11 o'clock, give me a call when you're done. I'm like, okay. And I call them. They're like, whoa, commercial break? You're calling it a commercial break? I'm like, yeah. Yep. I'm dedicated. I want to talk to you so badly.
So she calls me yesterday and she's like,
love you, Joe Ramirez.
It would be nice if you would go see your father before you leave. That's what she said. And I was like, okay. I said, that's a good idea. I was planning on it anyway. She goes, and then she said, I got a call at 7 a.m. Call 7 a.m. this morning, which that's not the call you want from the nursing home. The 7 a.m. call is the he did not wake up call, right? That's not the call that you want. Apparently, he woke up like choking on his own saliva or whatever, which, you know, that's part of what happens when you have like severe dementia. You just forget how to breathe, you forget how to eat, forget how to swallow. So they're putting him back on, you know, the pureed foods. They had gotten him off that, they got him back on regular food. So she was like, it's probably just a good time, just go see him. So I go over there and he's eating, and he is in this is a hospital bed chair. This looks like the most comfortable chair you could possibly be in. That looks fantastic.
Your Glen Heights firehouse chair.
Absolutely. So, you know, I wheel him into his bedroom, and I put the TV on for him. And I'm the only one that can figure this TV out. And I'm like, all right, Dad, we're going to watch some baseball. So I put the baseball on, and I put on MLB Network, but it was like MLB Network's like their app, I guess. And they just had all-time classic games on. So somehow, the 2022 game between Minnesota and Cleveland was an all-time classic game. And that's what we watched. So I stayed there for a little bit, and I'm sitting there looking at him, and I'm like, man, he looks pretty rough. He looks pretty rough right now. I need to trim this guy up. I go in the back. I go in the bathroom area.
You're going to give him a haircut?
Well, I saw this guy had nose hairs that were sticking out a bit, good half inch. And ear hair. Ear hair is just, you got to be vigilant with the ear hair. It never stops.
Vigilant.
So I start with the ears, and I get the beard trimmer. And I start doing his ears, and I've never seen a man with so much hair in his ear. It's wild. I do the other ear, and then I go to do the nose. I swear to God, it was like chopping down a forest. You needed a wood chipper to get through this crop of nose hair. He hadn't blown his nose probably in 6 years. I shoved this thing up there. It's just crusty, just like dead skin falling off the nose hairs I get. And I clean them up. And I go to the second nose, the second nostril, not the second nose, second nostril, and I shove it up there.
Mr. Potato Head.
And I start doing it again, and he jumps back. And I, you know, obviously, because you get this, it's so clogged, it gets, you know, I think it must have pulled. And my dad was a real cantankerous SOB in his own right. Like he was small, right? He was like 5'8", 5'7". So he always had that sort of
complex,
very, very, like, angry, he was ready for a fight. This guy was always ready to battle. Didn't matter how big, he was ready to fight you. And I guess I tagged him with one of the nose hairs, and it pulled. And he goes, oh, get out of here, son of a bitch. Just, and starts like waving his arms. This guy has not opened his eyes yet. His eyes aren't open. He hasn't said a word to me. He hasn't said a word in years. But out of nowhere, he comes out with that. And I was like, you know what? Dad's back. Hell yeah. That's the guy I know. That's my man. That's the guy I love. So I did the nose. And then I decided those eyebrows, they got to go. Those are too much. So I get the trimmer out. And I put on the right setting, like a two setting or whatever. He ain't got to worry about burning his eyebrows off. These things are a little short. All right, I did my dad dirty on this one. I made these things a little bit too short. I did his sideburns. He's got like the Larry David haircut. It's just that, the Ron Washington, the same kind of hair. So I trimmed that up. So I gave my dad a haircut, and I guess I just, I didn't have a blow dryer, so I'm sitting there going.
Oh, gave him COVID.
And I'm just blowing all over him, and like the hair's flying everywhere. I probably got allergies now. But that was it. I gave my dad a little haircut and went on my merry way.
But that was that gave me some positive vibes that he cursed at you.
Yeah, I felt good about that.
That's the warm and fuzzy.
That's the guy that I remember. So yeah. I was glad to see it. But hey, he's hanging on.
Man.
He is hanging on.
How's your mom doing?
She's fine. She's come to terms with it. We all have. I mean, it'll be sad when he goes, but like I've said, I haven't.
Is she fine like living solo? Living life solo?
Well, she lives with her sister. So my aunt moved to Aunt Surrection. She lives there. So she lives upstairs.
Yes. Can you please just go and record them during the next debate? Please. We don't have to air. We'll edit it. But just go in there and just hit record on your phone and put it on the table.
So
with the two of them.
You remember in Mary?
That'd be amazing.
Remember in Mary with Children when Peg's mom would come to town and you never saw her? But she would just be upstairs.
Yeah.
She would just yell.
Yeah.
That's my aunt. She doesn't come downstairs. She'll just be watching her TV. And Fox News is MSNBC to her. Might as well be MSNBC. And she will just be sitting there watching something. And all of a sudden, she'll just yell something.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. And it's just like, oh, there she is. She's upstairs.
My aunt's on the opposite side. I've been needling her now that like Trump is going to win. And she's just writing me essays. Telling me how wrong I am. And I was like, I told you, Biden's slipping. And she's like, not going to matter. And then yesterday I'm like, give it up. It's over. It's done. And she's the opposite of Aunt Surrection.
Yeah. We need a name.
We need to record the two aunts. You need to record her reaction to you saying, how's it feel to know Trump is going to win a third time in a row? And then Chop, you need to ask your aunt, say, where exactly do you think Joe Biden is?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
the same people who had Damar Hamlin gone. It was just his image. They're saying, Joe Biden's gone. Joe Biden's dead. He's really dead.
Bro, they're not even trying to throw a Biden hologram out there, though.
I heard Biden on a Kamala conference call yesterday. She was at an event. I think they had Biden in through the speaker.
Well, and did you see the controversy that people are saying? They're saying... She, after when Kamala's like trying to talk back to him, she goes, Joe, I know you're still there on the phone. And people are like, she stopped herself from saying the recording. She knew that was a recording and that he was not live on the phone.
I'll tell you, I've been all in with political coverage over the last 2 weeks. Like, that's all I want to keep on TV. Yesterday, it made me sick with how ugly it got again. It got bad with the personal attacks. I think your guy from Tennessee called Harris
Bill Frist
DEI. He called her a DEI candidate.
Bill, is it Bill Frist?
It's this tall looking hick, this stupid big bird looking friggin' hick who called her a DEI candidate. Oh, the
Taylor they, Hart Incorporated.
You see what they did to the Secret Service head yesterday? You the only time I've seen bipartisanship. We were on the Chris text.
The girl, the lady in the pink, whoever she is.
Yeah.
Like, that is the most insufferable thing I've ever seen. Like, what a loser. Like, just, you don't...
Yes
you don't,
or no.
Yeah, you don't go to... There is no such thing as a yes or no. Everything has a context. You're in a hearing.
Yes.
Do you want to hear what's going on, or do you want yes or no quotes?
Dude, I can't stand those people.
I hate
up
them.
There. And I couldn't watch that either.
If you're on a Senate hearing committee... I instantly hate you.
How are you experts at everything?
They're not.
How are you experts at like every single thing? So you're like this big badass. It's the top bleacher theory. I'm above you.
Yeah.
So you know about steroids. You can cross-examine me and like try to embarrass me in
college
front of the entire
sports,
world.
Ruining college sports.
You know about college sports. You know about Secret Service intel and security. Now, look, I'm not saying they're wrong about everything because the Republicans and the Democrats were both agreeing yesterday that the Secret Service director needs to go.
Yeah.
They both agree you need to go. But that girl in the pink or purple... Oh my God! I can't say what I have for her on the radio.
They're experts.
I really can't.
They're experts at grandstanding. That's what those Senate hearings are.
Yes.
When they had, I watched the entire Boeing guy CEO. Like now, look, that guy, he's got to go. The Boeing guy, but there is context to a lot of this that they just don't understand. You don't understand. Nobody knows what it takes to run an airline.
Right.
They don't know what it takes to run an airline. Yeah. People in Congress have never had a job. They're just elected officials.
It's a joke. I would love to take a baseball bat to all of them yesterday.
Yep.
All of them right across the face. It's insufferable. It's so bad. I had to turn it off.
See, I don't need to start Vanderpump. Just pop on the old C-SPAN.
Have the Cowboys turned one of their biggest weaknesses into a strength? Part 7 of the Cowboys roster inventory next. And B-Lo,
the belt,
right here on The Fan. The great Bobby Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Let's answer all the Cowboys questions. I promise to answer every question during this segment that the fellas have for me here. As we talk about the Cowboys roster, we continue to do Cowboys inventory.
Bobby was just complaining in the commercial break about like Sandler being difficult, like, all right, Jared, what do you think about this Rangers question? He's like, well, it depends. What's this? What's that? What are the circumstances? And I was like, welcome to my world. That's how Bobby is. Effing up every hypothetical, making radio more difficult. So don't complain about Jared.
I got you, Sam, man. No, I love Jared. And Jared gave me a ton of great insight yesterday and a ton of different perspectives. It's just like I kept trying to...
I even had a sponsor 2 hours ago text me and say, just tell him to answer the freaking question. Tell him to be so...
I know which segment
it was. Put him on with Amy Lawrence.
I know which segment it was. It was the one where I had said you were asking us about the rotations. And I just need to know, are we assuming they're as good as they are or do we have to wonder? That was it. I just needed to know that because that was going to impact whether they have the best or not. I just need to know what the terms were. That was all. And Jared was great. He just couldn't tell me who he, like, I was like, who do you think would teams would value more between Adolis and Lowe? He's like, it depends. I'm like, all right, well, what if
you mean Adolis?
And I was like, what if these factors are in place? And Jared was like, it would still depend. I'm like, okay, all right. Well, I was just trying to tell me who you would like if you were running a team. All right, linebacker last year. Has there been a position over the last couple of years that we feel like has been thinner or just more void of NFL talent on this team than linebacker?
You can get away with a lot of things as a GM or executive, and it's like, okay, they have to say this. All right, if you stretch it, maybe I could see. When Jerry Jones came on here last year and kept talking about how linebacker is like the strongest part of their team or their defense, I cringed for him. I cringed for him because I'm like, you lose all credibility. Like, I can't even take the other things that you're saying seriously when you talk like that.
Yeah, were there talented players in the group last year? Yeah, but Leighton Vander Esch could never stay healthy. Damone Clark is talented, but has not really progressed at all. I wonder, are they going to start getting scared away from LSU linebackers? If Damone Clark doesn't pan out, Jabril Cox didn't pan out, are they just going to start saying, we're not going into that well anymore?
Jabril, Kentucky?
No, Jabril Cox was North Dakota State at first, and then he transferred to LSU for the last year of his career.
All right, give me the secondary busts from college who have the label. So the Cowboys should just have an all-Michigan D-line, an all-LSU linebacker core, and who would that go for the secondary corners?
Oh, if you're just going to peg it to one person, it would be Morris Claiborne, so it might be LSU again. But, I mean, LSU has turned out really good DBs over time.
They have.
877-81-1053 brought us, if you are listening, or Woolchuck, the DB, D-Bust you would be who?
Yeah, throw us that one, because that one doesn't stand out to me right off the top of my head that they've had trouble with.
Because it was what, OU for quarterbacks, Penn State for running backs.
Yes.
See, the OU quarterbacks would have been Bradford, Baker, Kyler, Hurts. I don't know, that's...
Well... That's like the last couple of years. I said what it was.
Back Penn towards State, like Heupel and like Jason White. And guys like that. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think who the Cowboys have had, because they've had individual busts at the DB spot, but it hasn't been necessarily a...
I'm just talking about throughout the league.
Like, oh, yeah.
What college would know? Anyway, we're wasting time. It's a good
one. Yeah, okay. All right, we'll have to think about it. Linebacker position, it has been...
Boise State corners from burner account. Boise State. My Boise State got thrown on there on YouTube.
There's... The linebacker position, I think it's... they entered this offseason with it being the one with the most question marks. I think there's a case now that it's one of the more stable units on defense. Now, before we go into specifics of why I think that and the group that they have here, which, by the way, on the Cowboys team website, RJ Chappie includes Micah Parsons, listed as a linebacker here. Which would you rather have at the linebacker spot if you're team building?
Oh, my God, a Bobby hypothetical. All right, let me be Bobby here.
Okay.
Well, it depends.
Well, you know what? And I'm going to lay it all out for you.
Are they all healthy or are they taking into account their injury history?
I will lay it all out there for you. Would you rather have, all things generally equal, would you rather have freaky athleticism, show no instincts, which is Damone Clark, or would you rather have minimal athleticism or limited athleticism, but shows instincts and ability to see it and get there and compensate potentially for some of that athleticism, which is maybe where Eric Kendricks is at in his career?
B for me. If you're freakish and out of place, overrunning, not knowing where you're going, okay, what's the use unless I'm going to have you in the double-A gap blitzing?
Do you think instincts, from what you've seen over the course of watching the NFL, all the way back to your...
I do watch more football.
You do? All the way back to your Russell Street Report days when you were covering the whole NFL. Have you ever seen a player that you thought lacked instincts or didn't seem instinctual early on that was able to, like, grow in that area? Because I think instincts is one of those things where teams feel like that either you have or you don't. Yeah. You can't learn it.
Like, I always waited for it with LeVar Arrington. Like, yeah. LeVar Arrington was supposed to be the next Lawrence Taylor. And you saw all the Penn State freakish highlights, and it just, I never felt like it clicked there. I didn't feel like it came on. I don't have an example for you of where the instincts did click, but that's the first thing that came to mind covering LeVar Arrington. And I'm like, it just feels like a big bodybuilder out there. That's it.
Chop, instincts or athleticism?
So... I gotta pull a Bobby here.
Okay.
No Chop's picking athleticism.
I know.
Well, how minimal athleticism are we talking?
Eric Kendricks.
Somebody that has played here that I've seen 60 plays a game.
If Jalen Smith would have had better instincts.
How about someone with two legs?
Yeah.
I mean,
I think you can be taught how to play football. Now, you may not be able to learn instincts, all right? But I think you can be smart enough within the game and understand what's going on. I would take the athleticism.
Which is, I figured you would go that
because
direction.
Because you can't teach that.
That's the question that the Cowboys are going to have in front of them right here in terms of if Damone Clark even makes the roster.
By the way, real quick, Schefter says Dak's going to be the one that resets the market, going to get a deal north of 60. It might be more. Way more. That from Adam Schefter with a quote I just saw on TV.
Way more than 60.
Is it 65? They're not going to go 10 million over market.
This fan text will, you're going to see like smoke emanating from the computer here in just a second. Yeah. The way the fan text is about to set on fire.
He is going to reset the market. Yeah, he's going to have the number one contract, but I don't know. Way more than 60. So the Cowboys are going to outbid themselves by $10 million?
Look, they have, as we've talked about,
they might have to do whatever he says.
If they want him, they do. Like, I mean, that's just the case. Whatever he agrees to, they have no leverage. And people can say, they have leverage, they can walk away. Yeah, sure. That's not leverage, though. That's legitimately, you don't win a negotiation. You left the negotiation. If you want to negotiate with him and have him here, there is nothing he has to concede on with you. Like, from in terms of who's in the worst position. He will go find that money somewhere else if you don't give it to him.
Yep.
You have to go find another quarterback.
You can leave the house. You can run away from home. But you're standing outside at midnight with no place to go.
Yeah.
You can go ahead. Go ahead and do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Where are you going to go?
And that's not leverage. It's just, okay, like, you just, now you start over. All right, congratulations. Which some people may want. But, man, for Schefter to say definitely over 60, maybe way more. I mean, what are we talking, 62 to 65? Woo!
Oh boy,
that one that would be very interesting. Okay, Damone Clark, though, a guy that they believed a lot in. You see the athleticism pop on tape at times. There was a play his rookie year where he ran down Justin Fields to the sideline. There's not hardly any linebackers that can cross the field and do that, and Damone Clark can. And Damone Clark, they love him as a leader and as a guy who, you know, is a total pro. The issue with Damone Clark is he doesn't, there's no feel for the game. He doesn't see it in advance. Whereas guys like Eric Kendricks, who you added this offseason, has lost some of that athleticism, but he knows the game of football. He has a feel for it. He sees things happening almost a step ahead. He's able to compensate for some of that athleticism issue. He's going to be a big part of this defense this year. Maris Leafau, who they picked in the third round. A lot of people thought, out of all their picks in the first three rounds, that was the one that people were like, oh, I didn't even know who that was. That was a reach. That's a guy that when he has been out there at the mini camp and OTA practices has looked really impressive. And again, a guy who has fantastic instincts. Somebody who during his high school and college career has played safety, corner, linebacker, edge rusher. He's played essentially every spot on defense during his high school and college career. So it's made him into a really well-rounded, high IQ, naturally instinctual player. And I think you saw some of that during training camp. The guy they are most excited about, and hopefully we get a chance to sit down with him at training camp, is DeMarvian Overshown. And Overshown, he was great last year. Fantastic to talk to. He was a little bit on the thinner side. So he had, linebacker was kind of a new position for him at the end of his career in Texas. He had been a defensive back and played some different spots, but he was kind of a thinner linebacker. Man, his rehab, he looks like the most legitimate linebacker in the room. He looks probably, when we see him, you're going to probably see 15, 20 pounds heavier.
Oh.
And I mean, jacked. Not heavy, just built. Like, he has attacked the rehab. In fact, the rehab group recovering from surgeries this entire, starting last year all the way through the offseason, was David Durden, the wide receiver, John Stevens, the tight end, and DeMarvian Overshown. They've all been rehabbing together because they got hurt around the same two-week window. DeMarvian Overshown has apparently, just when you talk to people around the organization, has set a complete tone, and that leadership that we saw there out at Oxnard when we were talking to him, and like how you could tell he's just this magnetic personality. It's easy for guys to get down, check out, have trouble with their rehab. Overshown, by all accounts, told those guys like, hey, you have your position groups. I know you're a receiver, you're a tight end. This is our position group. We're the rehab group. This is our group. We're going to hang out. We're going to attack this every day. We're going to have good attitudes. We're going to talk. And he has led that rehab group and kept those guys' spirits up.
The Derek Lively.
Yeah, consistently for a year now. And you're talking about a guy who, when they saw him, it wasn't that he's Micah Parsons level, but it was that same reaction from people around the team when they saw him in these practices and these preseason games last year, where it was like, oh, he's better than we thought. Like, he's really, really good. This one's going to be good. And then he got hurt and it devastated it. But he's somebody who has a chance, I think, to be impactful immediately. And this linebacker group in general, more stable, better IQ, better processing, better instincts. And like I said, the Derek Lively of the Cowboys could be DeMarvian Overshown.
Below the belt. Every day at this time, we will be in Oxnard, California tomorrow for Cowboys training camp. Thank you for being a Tolo. That stands for Turn It On and Leave It On. We're leaving for training camp right after the Hump Day show tomorrow afternoon. Why someone keeps trying to trade the Rangers playoff ace, and are we now a destination after Klay Thompson and Dinwiddie's return? Final hour, Tolo Tuesday, starts right after this. The great Bobby Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Don't make me take off my belt.
My belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Let's answer all the Cowboys questions. I promise to answer every question during this segment that the fellas have for me here. As we talk about the Cowboys roster, we continue to do Cowboys inventory.
Bobby was just complaining in the commercial break about like Sandler being difficult. Like, all right, Jared, what do you think about this Rangers question? He's like, well, it depends. What's this? What's that? What are the circumstances? And I was like, welcome to my world. That's how Bobby is, effing up every hypothetical, making radio more difficult. So don't complain about Jared.
I got you, Sam, man. No, I love Jared. And Jared gave me a ton of great insight yesterday and a ton of different perspectives. It's just like I kept trying to.
I even had a sponsor 2 hours ago text me and say, just tell him to answer the freaking question. Tell him to be so.
I know which segment it was.
Put him on with Amy Lawrence.
I know which segment it was. It was the one where I had said you were asking us about the rotations. And I just need to know, are we assuming they're as good as they are, or do we have to wonder? That was it. I just needed to know that, because that was going to impact whether they have the best or not. I just needed to know what the terms were. That was all. And Jared was great. He just couldn't tell me who he, like, I was like, who do you think would teams would value more between Adolis and Lowe? He's like, it depends. I'm like, all right, well, what if
you mean
these,
Adolis?
And I was like, what if these factors are in place? And Jared was like, it would still depend. I'm like, okay, all right. Well, I was just trying to tell me who you would like if you were running a team. All right, linebacker last year. Has there been a position over the last couple of years that we feel like has been thinner or just more void of NFL talent on this team than linebacker?
You can get away with a lot of things as a GM or executive, and it's like, okay, they have to say this. All right, if you stretch it, maybe I could see. When Jerry Jones came on here last year and kept talking about how linebacker is like the strongest part of their team or their defense, I cringed for him. I cringed for him because I'm like, you lose all credibility. Like, I can't even take the other things that you're saying seriously when you talk like that.
Yeah, and that, and it was a, were there talented players in the group last year? Yeah, but Leighton Vander Esch could never stay healthy. Damone Clark is talented, but has not really progressed at all. I wonder, are they going to start getting scared away from LSU linebackers? If Damone Clark doesn't pan out, Jabril Cox didn't pan out, are they just going to start saying, we're not going into that well
wasn't
anymore?
Jabril Kentucky?
No, Jabril Cox was North Dakota State at first, and then he transferred to LSU for the last year of his career.
All right, give me the secondary busts from college who have the label. So the Cowboys should just have an all-Michigan D-line, an all-LSU linebacker core, and who would that go for the secondary corners?
Oh, well, I mean, if you're just going to peg it to one person, it would be Morris Claiborne, so it might be LSU again. But, I mean, LSU has turned out really good DBs over time.
They have.
877-81-1053 brought us, if you are listening, or Woolchuck, the DB, D-Bust you would yeah. be who?
Yeah, throw us that one, because that one doesn't stand out to me right off the top of my head that they've had trouble with.
Because it was what, OU for quarterbacks, Penn State for running backs.
Yes.
See, the OU quarterbacks would have been Bradford, Baker, Kyler, Hurts. I don't know, that's...
Well... That's like the last couple years. I said yeah. what it was.
Back Penn towards State, like Heupel and like yeah. Jason White. And guys like that. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think who the Cowboys have had, because they've had individual busts at the DB spot, but it hasn't been necessarily a...
I'm just talking about throughout the league.
Like, oh, yeah.
What college would know? Anyway, we're wasting time.
It's a
time.
Good one. Yeah, okay. All right, we'll have to think about it. Linebacker position, it has been...
Boise State corners from burner account. Boise State... My Boise State got thrown on there on YouTube.
There's the linebacker position. I think they entered this offseason with it being the one with the most question marks. I think there's a case now that it's one of the more stable units on defense. Now, before we go into specifics of why I think that and the group that they have here, which, by the way, on the Cowboys team website, RJ Choppy includes Micah Parsons listed as a linebacker here. Which would you rather have at the linebacker spot if you're team building?
Oh, my God, a Bobby hypothetical. All right, let me be Bobby here.
Okay.
Well, it depends.
Well, you know what? And I'm going to lay it all out for you.
Are they healthy, or are they taking into account their injury history?
I will lay it all out there for you. Would you rather have, all things generally equal, would you rather have freaky athleticism, show no instincts, which is Damone Clark? Or would you rather have minimal athleticism or limited athleticism, but shows instincts and ability to see it and get there and compensate potentially for some of that athleticism, which is maybe where Eric Kendricks is at in his career?
B for me. If you're freakish and out of place, overrunning, not knowing where you're going, okay, what's the use unless I'm going to have you in the double-A gap blitzing?
Do you think instincts, from what you've seen over the course of watching the NFL, all the way back to your...
I do watch more football.
You do? All the way back to your Russell Street Report days when you were covering the whole NFL. Have you ever seen a player that you thought lacked instincts or didn't seem instinctual early on that was able to like grow in that area? Because I think instincts is one of those things where teams feel like that either you have or you don't. Yeah. You can't learn it.
Like, I always waited for it with LeVar Arrington. Like, yeah. LeVar Arrington was supposed to be the next Lawrence Taylor. And you saw all the Penn State freakish highlights, and it just, I never felt like it clicked there. I didn't feel like it came on. I don't have an example for you of where the instincts did click, but that's the first thing that came to mind covering LeVar Arrington. And I'm like, it just feels like a big bodybuilder out there. That's it.
Chop, instincts or athleticism?
So I gotta pull a Bobby here.
Okay.
No, Chop's picking athleticism.
I know.
Well, how minimal athleticism are we talking?
Eric Kendricks.
Somebody that has played here that I would seen 60 plays a game.
If Jalen Smith would have had better instincts.
How about someone with two legs?
Yeah.
I mean,
anyway, you're bobbing
it. I think you can be taught how to play football. Now, you may not be able to learn instincts, all right? But I think you can be smart enough within the game and understand what's going on. I would take the athleticism.
Which is, I figured you would go that direction.
Because you can't teach that.
That's the question that the Cowboys are going to have in front of them right here in terms of if Damone Clark even makes the roster.
By the way, real quick, Schefter says Dak's going to be the one that resets the market, going to get a deal north of 60. It might be more, way more. That from Adam Schefter with a quote I just saw on TV.
Way more than 60.
What is
60
way more than 60? Is it 65? They're not going to go $10 million over market.
This fan text will, you're going to see like smoke emanating from the computer here in just a second, yeah. The way the fan text is about to set on fire.
He is going to reset the market. Yeah, he's going to have the number one contract, but I don't know, way more than 60. So the Cowboys are going to outbid themselves by $10 million?
Look, they have, as we've talked about,
they might have to do whatever he says.
If they want him, they do. Like, I mean, that's just the case. Whatever he agrees to, they have no leverage. And people can say, they have leverage, they can walk away. Yeah, sure, that's not leverage, though. That's legitimately, you don't want a negotiation. You left the negotiation. If you want to negotiate with him and have him here, there is nothing he has to concede on with you. Like, in terms of who's in the worst position. He will go find that money somewhere else if you don't give it to him.
Yep.
You have to go find another quarterback.
You can leave the house. You can run away from home. But you're standing outside at midnight. With no place to go.
Yeah.
You can go ahead. Go ahead and do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Where are you going to go?
And that's not leverage. It's just, okay, like you just, now you start over. All right, congratulations. Which some people may want. But man, for Schefter to say definitely over 60, maybe way more. I mean, what are we talking, 62 to 65?
Woo!
Oh, boy.
That one, that would be very interesting. Okay, Damone Clark, though, a guy that they believed a lot, and you see the athleticism pop on tape at times. There was a play his rookie year where he ran down Justin Fields to the sideline. There's not hardly any linebackers that can cross the field and do that. And Damone Clark can. And Damone Clark, they love him as a leader and as a guy who, you know, is a total pro. The issue with Damone Clark is he doesn't, there's no feel for the game. He doesn't see it in advance. Whereas guys like Eric Kendricks, who you added this offseason, has lost some of that athleticism. But he knows the game of football. He has a feel for it. He sees things happening almost a step ahead. He's able to compensate for some of that athleticism issue. He's going to be a big part of this defense this year. Marist Liafau, who they picked in the third round. A lot of people thought, out of all their picks in the first three rounds, that was the one that people were like, oh, I didn't even know who that was. That was a reach. That's a guy that when he has been out there at the mini camp and OTA practices, has looked really impressive. And again, a guy who has fantastic instincts. Somebody who, during his high school and college career, has played safety, corner, linebacker, edge rusher. He's played essentially every spot on defense during his high school and college career. So it's made him into a really well-rounded, high IQ, naturally instinctual player. And I think you saw some of that during training camp. The guy they are most excited about, and hopefully we get a chance to sit down with him at training camp, is DeMarvian Overshown. And Overshown, he was great last year. Fantastic to talk to. He was a little bit on the thinner side. So linebacker was kind of a new position for him at the end of his career in Texas. He had been a defensive back and played some different spots, but he was kind of a thinner linebacker. Man, his rehab, he looks like the most legitimate linebacker in the room. He looks probably, when we see him, you're going to probably see 15, 20 pounds heavier.
Oh.
And I mean, jacked. Not heavy, just built. Like, he has attacked the rehab. In fact, the rehab group recovering from surgeries this entire, starting last year all the way through the offseason, was David Durden, the wide receiver, John Stevens, the tight end, and DeMarvian Overshown. They've all been rehabbing together because they got hurt around the same 2-week window. DeMarvian Overshown has apparently, just when you talk to people around the organization, has set a complete tone. And that leadership that we saw there out at Oxnard when we were talking to him, and like how you could tell he's just this magnetic personality, it's easy for guys to get down, check out, have trouble with their rehab. Overshown, by all accounts, told those guys like, hey, you have your position groups. I know you're a receiver, you're a tight end. This is our position group. We're the rehab group. This is our group. We're going to hang out. We're going to attack this every day. We're going to have good attitudes. We're going to talk. And he has led that rehab group and kept those guys' spirits up.
The Derek Lively.
Yeah, consistently for a year now. And you're talking about a guy who, when they saw him, it wasn't that he's Micah Parsons level, but it was that same reaction from people around the team when they saw him in these practices and these preseason games last year, where it was like, oh, he's better than we thought. Like, he's really, really good. This one's going to be good. And then he got hurt and it devastated it. But he's somebody who has a chance, I think, to be impactful immediately. And this linebacker group in general, more stable, better IQ, better processing, better instincts. And like I said, the Derek Lively of the Cowboys could be DeMarvian Overshown.
Below the belt, every day at this time, we will be in Oxnard, California tomorrow for Cowboys training camp. Thank you for being a Tolo. That stands for Turn It On and Leave It On. We're leaving for training camp right after the Hump Day show tomorrow afternoon. Why someone keeps trying to trade the Rangers playoff ace, and are we now a destination after Klay Thompson and Dinwiddie's return? Final hour, Tolo Tuesday, starts right after this.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.